Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
She's got a ticket to ride. She's
got an absolutely spectacular first half of the season by the Phils, but a bad weekend series against the A's. I mean, yesterday was obviously a complete debacle. But again, I mean, it's one of those things where you can just trace it right on back to Zach Wheeler getting injured. You know, if he doesn't get injured, you probably win the game. I mean, scored a ton of runs. Chances are, if Zach Wheeler pitches, you win the game. He doesn't pitch, you lose, and you lose in a laugher, and obviously lose two or three into the break. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494.
I don't know if we win that game if Zach Wheeler pitches.
Why?
It just felt like it was a dud. We lost with Zach on the mound.
He's almost always seven innings, two runs, boom, that's it.
That would have been very different than what we got.
Yeah, very. You think?
It wasn't pro. It wasn't it wasn't major league type material.
And here's my point:
18 runs racked up against.
And here's my other point: if he gives you seven innings, you know you're going to only your best relievers in the last two innings. So you're not going through the Mercados and, it's amazing. Sir Anthony just does not get put into many big spots anymore. You know, he's really like
I don't understand what the issue, what, like.
Rob Thompson not trust him.
Well, I understand
that's the
why,
issue.
Because
yeah.
I've seen the results, but yeah. I don't understand how it got to where it's
gotten.
Well,
I think you would see him in more big spots if you had lesser pitchers. But when you have four guys in Alvarado, who, by the way, I'm still getting a little concerned about, all right? But when you have Alvarado, when you have Hoffman, when you have Strom, and you have Kirkering, I mean, that's not easy to get into that top four. I think ordinarily, with the way Sir Anthony has pitched the last 2 months, would have catapulted him back into the top two or three for most teams, certainly most Phillies teams through the years. But, I mean, that's a hard group of four to break.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like,
that's the point.
It's what it is.
Yeah, once upon a time when Sir Anthony was the only guy we had who could even throw over 95 miles per hour in our bullpen.
I remember.
He was the only guy we could turn to. And it was but it was spectacular watching him pitch because he had this trailing action. Even on his four-seam fastball, it's almost like he wasn't sure where it would end up at the late-breaking motion.
I mean,
it was almost unhittable.
Yeah.
And then the injury, and now it's been a year and a half, 2 years, and it feels like it's not the same
pitcher
at all.
Well, what's so weird is he doesn't have
that special additional movement.
But, John, he was back from the injury in 22 and was their main reliever when they came within two games of winning the World Series. I mean, he was totally dependable in the playoffs in 2022, but something last year just, And then this year, I mean, again, up until yesterday, he had pitched a lot better lately, but he got rocked yesterday. Let's go to the phones, whether it's the Phils the first half, the Phils over the weekend. Again, the Eagles thing with Kelce, 8 days to training camp. I believe as a fan base, we have overlooked the loss of Jason Kelce and just acted like not really that big a deal because, you know, Cam Jurgens just steps in there and away you go. And I think that's a simplistic and frankly too simplistic way to look at it.
What if Cam Jurgens is physically, look, he's significantly younger than Jason Kelce is. What if Jason Kelce just retired?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it didn't look to us like his play had sloughed off at
right.
all. But what if Jason, like, you don't just retire because you're not ready.
Well, you retire
like,
because you
physically. Whereas we heard a lot
I don't buy it, John.
About how his body had been breaking down. We know that Cam Jurgens' body has not broken down to that degree yet, or at least we're hoping so.
Right.
What if this younger player has some ability to burst and move in ways that older Jason Kelce was no longer able to
well,
do?
Well, I still saw it with Kelce, but obviously what you're describing was going to come soon because the guy couldn't have gone on forever. Mm-hmm. I tend to think he got out one because his body had been through it, and why have that extra year or two or three that could really injure your future, like so to speak. That's one. Two, I mean, he made a lot of money, so it's not like he needed the money from – and three, off-the-field money capabilities. I mean, maybe he would have played another year or two if the whole world wasn't waiting to find out what he's ready to pivot to as an announcer and a – multimedia star and
sure,
as a
possibly.
People Magazine sensation. I mean, that's a very unusual transition.
And it's also possible that Cam Jurgens can do some things physically that we are going to be surprised at because we've got a young and very talented athlete playing center. Whereas one we had the elder statesman playing center previously, and yeah, he could snap it and go pull around the edge like very few centers in the world can do. But he was getting up there.
All right, well, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Plus, for the Dave Matthews Band tickets, two very accomplished people with the same first name. Give us great answers there. Ben in Millville. Ben, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Joseph. How are you?
What's up, Benjamin?
How you been, buddy?
I got Benjamin Button and Benjamin Bratt. No, I'm just... Ben, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing all good.
How's the golf game?
Going to find out in a couple hours.
Ooh, where are you playing?
I am playing at Five Ponds in Warminster.
Oh, never heard of it.
Yep, yep. I don't know if I've played there before. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. I get them all confused, but that's where I'm playing today.
Hey, drive for show, putt for dough.
Say it again?
Drive for show and putt for dough.
Well, yeah, my short game is my weaker suit these days, but we'll see. All right, what do you got for us, Ben? Talk to me.
Hey, Jurgens, I am Team Richie. Jurgens is going to be fine. Who else handpicks or helps in the picking process? His replacement.
That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like that.
Exactly. Now, I say fine, maybe, you know, with a little bit of a liberal absence to it. But, you know, because there's going to be some bumps and ups and downs. He's not going to know everything. It's football. Football, you know, the NFL is always always transitioning into newer and different tactics and such. But I think it'll be very good at the worst for Jurgens to play center. You know,
well, there's also the replacement of guard for what it's worth. I mean, that's the other thing. The combination of players, I feel very confident they've taken a step backward. I mean, John, who is the other guard? Because now there's even talk of Mekhi Becton, maybe. I mean, you're seeing some reports like maybe Mekhi Becton gets in there.
You've got a choice with Tyler Steen, who they drafted in the third round last year.
So the
Matt
Temple
Hennessy,
kid, yep.
who they added in free agency, and
Becton, if they really feel he can play guard, which to this point has primarily been a tackle,
and he is a gigantic tackle at that. But that would be the biggest massive humanity at guard in the history of football.
And Ben, that's one of my arguments. Like, when I talk about the loss of Kelce, it's not just Kelce's not the center, Jurgens is. It's, I thought it was a phenomenal combination last year with Kelce and Jurgens. Now it's Jurgens and to be determined. You know, that to me is a concern. And again,
I liked what I saw from Tyler Steen as a run blocker in the preseason last year. But we haven't seen a whole lot.
Yeah. All right, what do you got on the Phillies, Ben?
Phil, that first caller, my gosh, what, like, they can't lose a game ever? I didn't know a team can go 162 and, you know, whatever.
Well, it would be it's not 162 and one. Let's just make sure we get that right.
I can't.
I want to make sure they taught you right in the Millville, you know, school system. I mean, 162 games. If you go 162, then you go and oh, and just okay.
So frustrated about that call. I was too, Ben.
All right, Ben, give me accomplishment. Two people, same first name.
Hey, what's cute and cuddly that kills over 1 billion birds a year? That's a household family cat, Joe. A quick fact for you.
Okay.
But Joe DeCamera and what? Joe Wechter.
Yeah, all right. I think we can do better than that, but I'll take it. I appreciate the nod.
Pandering.
Well, that's not. Who would be the Joes?
Oh, geez.
So you got the negative accomplishment, like the Stalin types.
I'm just wondering about what he just said about the cats.
Joe Stalin and Joe.
That's Joseph.
Though. He did have a goal.
You're right.
Yeah.
And I said, right. Yeah, that's right. Who would be the Joes? Joe DiMaggio.
Ooh.
And Joe.
Pesci.
Joe Pesci. I don't know. All right.
Joe Paterno?
Joe Paterno. So, listen, someone help us out here.
Joe Lewis.
Okay. All right. I mean, you know. All
right. Some heavyweights. Right. No pun intended.
215-592-9494. Great combination of two people with accomplishment. Same first name. Whoever provides the best combination is going to win the Dave Matthews Band tickets. Coming up, Barkley. Charles Barkley weighing in on what happened with Jalen Brunson over the weekend. Plus what I thought were two actually in the midst of a bad weekend for the Phillies, two pieces of audio in a certain way that were kind of cool. We'll get to that and more. We'll rock your calls on all the topics. Show to camera, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Good old Rolling Stones. Well, listen. He went to the ballpark yesterday. Yeah, I guess so. But for the first 3.5 months of the season, an absolutely banger of a year by our Fightin' Phils, with the best record in baseball, 6.5 games up on the Dodgers for the best record in the league. That's the National League. Still a couple games up on the Indians for best record in all of baseball. And then, of course, 8.5 games up on the Atlanta Braves. Let's get a lot of calls on the Phils. Also, the Eagles. Are we overlooking the loss of Kelce? Is it almost disrespectful to Kelce? So many people are like, slide Cam Jurgens in there. No big deal. And then also, two accomplished people, same first name, best combination of them, of accomplishment. Whoever provides that will win the tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band. Let's go to Patrick. He's calling from Tabernacle. Good morning, Patrick.
Morning, everybody. How we doing? Joe Ritchie.
What's up, Patrick?
Hey, real quick. I went to the July 4th concert. Willie Nelson, Bob Dylan, Robert Plant.
How was that?
Robert Plant is the coolest cat in the entire world.
Why?
He is just... John Ritchie, he's Robert Plant. This
yeah, but
royalty, man.
Was he wailing like you didn't expect he'd be able to wail?
He's so cool. He doesn't have to wail.
Wow.
He did a couple. They did a couple. I was close enough. I could see. He did a couple Zeppelin things at like the voice echo they did on a couple songs. But I'm familiar with Alison Krauss and Union Station and all his stuff. And Dylan was horrible. I knew that going in. But God bless Willie Nelson. I've seen him a handful of times before. This guy, I mean, seriously, I was so excited to go. It was unbelievable.
Good.
As bad as Bob Dylan was, I saw a piece. I mean, listen, Bob Dylan influenced, you know, who his biggest, you know, Jimi Hendrix was. You know, Bob Dylan was.
Well, Dylan's a heavyweight. Look, he was never a great singer, right? But that wasn't his thing, you know, even though he was a singer. he's a heavyweight in, you know, cultural history in America.
He's a poet.
Big time.
A songwriter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So anyhow, appreciate WIP for that. And Kelsey, listen, Rich, you're like the Mr. Optimistic, you know, and if a frog had wings, wouldn't hit its butt when it tried flying, John Ritchie, you know? But like Jason Kelsey, him leaving, I'm trying to listen to you, what you're saying, John, to talk me up a little bit. And I'm not saying doom and gloom, but this isn't where you just like easily just go, okay, Kelsey's gone. Here you go, Cam. Like, I don't think it works like that. And I have cautionary pause with the Eagles. And
this
I know
is the easiest transition that we can imagine.
Why?
Because they prepared for this transition. Like this, they knew it was going to be a challenge, so they prepared in advance
better than they ever
prepared for a transition at any position in the past. So they've handled it so effectively.
No, I will give you that. They're certainly more prepared for it, for instance, than when Dalk went out the door and you had no safeties. And it was a debacle. Like, Cam Jurgens shouldn't be a debacle, but Patrick
picked the exact player that they knew would work, that the player who knew the demands of the position from the player perspective knew would work. So it's like double augmented perfect fit.
Patrick, here's my point, and maybe this resonates with you. I'm not saying Cam Jurgens is bad or will be. I think he's actually a pretty good player. What I'm saying is we have grown accustomed as a fan base to a rock solid offensive line. We're generally speaking in the last bunch of years, hey, what are the two biggest strengths of the Eagles? The offensive line, the defensive line. And I feel there will be slippage there, and that worries me as they are about to embark on a season with championship aspirations. That's my point. And I think a lot of people have overlooked. I mean, look, I've been around this enough to know July to August to September, the pom-poms come out. They do. The pom-poms come out. And everyone's feeling the Eagles thing, and we're all excited. We should be excited. And we should be excited this year because they got a shot. But I know what it's like when people start overlooking some of the negatives around this time, and I feel that no Kelsey is a negative that some people are just glossing over. That's my point.
And I agree with you, Joe.
Patrick, give me an answer. Two really accomplished people, same first name.
Jimi Hendrix and Jimmy Carter.
Jimi Hendrix and Jimmy Carter. Yep. Okay.
Again, I dock it if we have a difference in spelling.
Well,
with the J-O-N and the J-O-H-N, with the J-I-M-I and the J-I-M-M-Y, it is different.
It is. But we say the same exact name.
It sounds the same. It's a cognate. It sounds the same.
Devin,
is
there a second Devin of note in the world?
Devin White,
yeah,
for the Eagles,
and that would be different spelling. Also,
it's always different spelling. I don't know anyone of note who spells it the way I do. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know if I know another Devin. Yeah. I mean, other than Devin, I mean, female Devin.
Female Devin, there's not a lot. Yeah,
that's.
But there's certainly. Men,
all right, let's get to
Devin.
Steve in Willow Grove. Steve, good morning.
Grandmaster Hammer.
What's good up, morning. Steve? Steve, I got to tell you. I felt a little bad with that celebration on Friday because, you know, Lenny and Concha Hawkins, a fine guy, but he stepped two and I had to, you know, smack him down, so to speak.
And you did what you had to do.
Thank you, sir.
But it's false. It was a he's falsely lashing out and going haughty hammer. It was an incomplete.
You know, here's the thing, Steve.
You can't judge that.
I think the reason I reacted so strong was
because you knew it was incomplete.
I'll admit this. I knew I was in some trouble. I knew there wasn't much time left. I knew I only had one right. I knew these were gettable questions, although not the easiest questions, but gettable. And the clock, you know, when I said that thing clocked my ass, no, the clock was a major factor. I knew that I was walking a tightrope at that point. But anyway, it worked out.
The belt has 10 stripes on it, okay?
I like it. Well, 255 wins. I like it.
That's a recognition of Grandmaster in the martial arts.
Thank you, sir. All right, Steve, what do you got on the field, Steve?
Well, listen, man. Like, they went 4-2. They beat up the big boys. Ohtani didn't do nothing. Freeman didn't do nothing. We have the pitching. This is easy. Everybody chill. It's like, gosh, come on. And then Kelsey. So, like, last year, Richie, wasn't everybody saying that was his best season ever, supposedly, like the way he played and performed?
Well, I don't know about that, but people were saying he was still going strong.
He still got it, right? All right, how about this for a theory? You ready? He doesn't want anything to do with the Eagles anymore because he knows what's going on between the coach, the quarterback, and the general manager, and he wants out because it's foolish.
I've wondered if that's a factor. I don't know, Steve. I mean, I tend to think the fact that he had such a unique money-making chance right now.
Yeah,
first off, he also played for like 12 or 13 years. I mean, let's not act like the day wasn't going to come soon, you know. And he's also a smart guy, meaning he probably knows, hey, if I can get out now and preserve the body, you know, look, his body's going to be beat up when he's 60 because he played pro football for more than a decade. But you help the body a little bit by not playing that extra year or two or three. You know, I mean, to me, it made a lot of sense for him to retire.
Well, I'm sad to see him go. But
I agree.
Hey, real fast, what's your favorite donut? Chocolate frost, glaze, cream? What do you like? Donut.
I think probably just the chocolate frosted.
Hey, Richie, what do you like?
Chocolate frosted?
Yeah.
Are you talking you got a glazed and then the chocolate ring on the top of the glaze?
But I also like vanilla cream.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, but I also like vanilla cream.
What do you like, Rich?
If it's a good glazed, that's all I need. But right. I prefer some chocolate in the mix also. I don't know that I can stop at one either, Steve. So do I have to pick just one? Maybe it's a great glazed.
Good. Devin, what do you like? What kind of donut?
It's probably the only thing I like from Boston cream donuts.
I love Boston cream also.
And Steve, nothing's worse than when you don't realize you're biting into a jelly donut and it's jelly. It is a tremendous disappointment when that happens.
Not a huge jelly donut fan myself.
No. And when you're not expecting it, it's brutal.
You guys are going to be at McGurk's in Hatboro, right?
Yeah, in about 2 weeks for the Phillies trade deadline day.
All right, I will be bringing the best donuts in the world.
Nice.
Wow.
All right, Steve, you can win the tickets to Dave Matthews. Give me two amazingly accomplished people, same first name.
What about Joe Frazier and Joseph, the father of Christ?
So that's an interesting one if we get into the Bible. I was wondering about that earlier. So, look. I'm going to write it down. We're going to figure out the Bible implications as we go.
But was that another Joseph situation?
Doesn't count.
You said no Mike and Michael.
That's right.
So I don't know if we can count that.
No, we can't count that because
appreciate the thought.
Yeah, Joe and Joseph for our purpose of this game today don't work. So what is going to be our standard here for the Bible? I mean, I got Sir Isaac Newton and I got Isaac from the Bible, like
Moses and Moses Malone.
Can we take Bible off the board? Like, can you just not use a Bible name?
I
would have voted for Moses and Moses Malone.
I mean, it's pretty good.
For real,
pretty good.
Noah and Captain Noah. You know,
sure.
Anyway, I don't know. It's a hard one to judge. I'll just put it that way. All right, Charles Barkley was a judge over the weekend, not of any particular contest, but of evaluating what the New York Knicks are able to pull off, and specifically what Jalen Brunson helped them do. So if you missed this story, this was a pretty amazing sports story over the weekend. And we first started getting wind of this about a month ago, that maybe Jalen Brunson was going to take less money and a lot less money with a new contract with the Knicks than he otherwise could get. Let me read you from Adrian Wojnarowski what he tweeted this weekend. and then we'll get to Barkley's reaction, because Woj tweeted out, in a largely unprecedented financial concession to give roster flexibility to a contender, New York Knicks star Jalen Brunson has agreed on a four-year, $156 million extension. His agent, Sam Rose of CAA, tells ESPN, $113 million less guaranteed than he's eligible to receive in 1 year. $113 million less. Now, it's not a pure $113 million difference, because he would have played this year and then you get the extension next year. So I don't know what it nets out to, if it's like an $80 or $90 million difference and what it otherwise could have been. But it's roughly like $100 million less.
This is shocking.
It's outrageous. Understand.
This doesn't compute. In this world where it's always, hey, how can I get a little bit more? I be the next guy who gets the most? That's the way it always works.
I'm with you, John.
The next guy gets more than the last guy.
And also,
now
he's
not intentionally taking $100 million
right.
less than what you deserve, what you are owed. I don't understand.
I'm pretty baffled too. Look, I mean, obviously,
what's the trick?
Well, he wants to have a team, a contender, and he doesn't want to gobble up all the salary cap. I mean, you see that sometimes with older players, Tom Brady near the end. Okay. Like, that makes sense. You've made a ton of money. You're 35, you're 37, you're 40 years old. I mean, I don't ever remember a young guy doing this. By the way, Woj also went on. I'm going to read another tweet. He said, the repercussions of Brunson choosing the four-year, $156 million max deal over the five-year, $269 million deal in 2025 are massive for the Knicks' ability to keep this team together and keep making roster moves to close the gap on a championship. I mean, it really is. Look, unprecedented sometimes gets said too often. I tend to think this is actually unprecedented for a person of his age. This isn't the end of the career. Okay, I'm good. I made $300 million, $200 million.
Sure.
I'm good. Like, by the way, Charles.
Tom Brady married to the
Giselle.
World's biggest supermodel
exactly.
who's making $500 million herself every
correct.
Year.
Correct. You think, by the way, she had to pay Brady in the breakup? Like, is Tom Brady collecting?
I don't know.
Let's listen to Charles Barkley weighing in on what Brunson and the impact on the East. And by the way, some nice Sixers stuff in here from Barkley as well. Here's Barkley on a couple of different topics.
Jalen Brunson taking a lot less money than he could have to help out the Knicks. Just wondering what your thoughts are on his decision.
Well, I think it's awesome. First of all, he's a great kid and a hell of a player. What he's did for the Knicks, I think, has shocked everybody. I mean, I knew he was a good player, but he's been great since he got to New York. But I think he realizes, if I take less money, because the Celtics are not going anywhere. The Sixers have gotten better. The Sixers probably had a best summer ever with Paul George, Caleb Martin, Eric Gordon, and I love the Andre Drummond signing. So I think he realized, hey, for me to make an extra few million dollars and we're not going to be competitive, nobody wants to do that. So I'm happy for that kid. He's a great kid, and man, kudos to him.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, it really is an like borderline outrageous story from sports that Jalen Brunson took so much less. But, you know, he chose to do it, and it's pretty incredible. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Obviously, our main topics, the Phils from both the weekend losing 2-3, but the first half of the season playing great baseball. Congratulations, by the way, to Christopher Sanchez being named an All-Star over the weekend. So 8 Phillies All-Stars. I mean, it's really about a third of the Phillies team made the All-Star team, which is incredible. We actually have two different Twitter poll questions of the day. The first related to the Phils and the first half. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering incredible lease offers on the all-new Blazer EV and Equinox EV. Visit ArminChevy.com for details. Together, let's drive. All right, so look, we just had to make a decision here on which four players to go with for first half MVP for the Phils. Here's the deal. We put them in alphabetical order. No disrespect meant to Nola, Boehm, Sanchez, Hoffman, Strom, who are all phenomenal in their own ways, JT. But we'll go with this. Phil's first half MVP amongst these four, who is it? Bryce Harper, Ranger Suarez, Trey Turner, Zach Wheeler. First half MVP, is it Bryce? Is it Ranger? Is it Trey? Is it Wheeler? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Certainly weigh in on the phone lines as well. Second poll question is, we're also talking a lot today now, 8 days from the start of training camp. Are we overlooking or minimizing the loss of Jason Kelce as the Eagles gear up to try to make a Super Bowl push this year? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's go to John. He's calling from Egg Harbor Township. Hi, Egg Harbor City. Good morning, John.
So, good morning. How are we doing, guys?
Doing great, John.
You know what? I'm sorry. I forgot. Spike Eskin doesn't want me to ask that question. So I hope you're doing great.
It's all good.
Had an amazing weekend.
Thanks, buddy.
And I'm a longtime listener on my way to work. I'm a school teacher, first-time caller. So
wow. Thank you. Thank you.
To be able to talk to you guys. John Ritchie.
What subject
do
you
–
what's – thank
you. I'm a social studies teacher.
That's awesome. Thank you for being kind and saying that you liked me as a player. That's really, really over the top.
John was a good player. John,
social studies was an awesome
class. That was a huge signing. I was a big fan. I'm in my mid-40s, so I was really starting to understand football when you were playing. So I enjoyed it, and I was crushed when you left, but I was thrilled when they brought you back to Philly area. So you're a Philly guy, and it's great to have you here.
Well, thanks, John.
Is he a Philly? Well, John, one question. That was all nice. Is he a Philly guy when he says that going to LBI is going to the shore? Because I contend you can't say the shore for LBI. It's a shore.
I don't think I
it's
say
not,
the shore.
No, but you
anyway.
Did. No, but you
I say the beach.
But you
or
did today
to the beach.
You said I went
yeah,
to
you
the. You
did.
Said I went to the shore. I went to LBI. That's not the shore.
And I didn't say down the shore.
No,
because that's not in my lexicon.
No, it's not.
To the shore, to the beach, to the ocean.
Well, LBI would definitely not be down the
to
shore.
That's
where we draw the line.
Like, because it's like directly
shore,
across.
But
you guys know that it's directly.
I am
east.
Aware. It is east.
It's like you just turn.
It's like Central Jersey.
Left.
Yeah, it's,
and it's there.
Well, you turn right. We're in Pennsylvania.
Well, if I'm facing south, I'm turning left.
Okay. All right, John, what do you got on the sports scene, buddy?
Well, a couple things. I'm going to say, huge Kelce fan. Loved them. I think one of the hardest things in sports is to watch somebody who dominated struggle at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for his legacy, he's more likely to hurt it by coming back than bringing it back. So if we're going to be sports historians, so I was happy to see him go, number one. Number two, again, as much as it hurts, I was happy for him.
Well, I was very – I think we were all happy for him because you recognize – when a take John. You referenced John's career earlier, man. So few people actually get to truly choose when they retire.
I mean, 100%.
It's incredible. Like that,
most people are shown the door.
The relief that he must have – no one is able to do what he did. Like, it just doesn't ever happen.
Well, it happens, but it's rare.
It's so incredibly
rare. Yeah,
it's rare. And you just have to give him props, kudos, just to be able to bring it all together the way that he did.
Yep. All right, John, what do you got on the Phils? Go ahead, buddy.
Every moment, right. And I'm going to say, when I think about this Eagles team, it reminds me of the Phillies from 2007 to 2011. And what was – because you had a championship and you were close, right? What's the concern is when you're trying to hold on to something and you sign those Phillies legends longer than they were capable. So the beginning downturn was when you're watching that Phillies team have players who, between injuries and age, couldn't do what they once were. Great teams, great organizations know how to pivot. And I think the Eagles have had a few years to get ready for this because for the past 2 years, we didn't know if Jason Kelce was coming back. So you had the time to pivot.
No, I agree. And they did the same thing with Cox because you got Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. The question is 100%. The question is whether these guys will live up to it. Like, I agree with you. They prepared for the transition, but will Jordan Davis be a 20 play a game guy and give you a C plus in those 20 plays, or is he going to be a 43 play a game guy and give you an A minus? You know, I mean, he was drafted to give you an A-minus. You wouldn't be picked in the teens in an NFL draft unless you're supposed to be an A-minus, A kind of player. I mean, that's the responsibility with where he's taken, with the money he's making. John, give me an answer. Your accomplishment, two people, same first name.
Okay, well, can I give one thing because I'm going to say this. I'm a school teacher. I'm also a pastor. So if you're going to say no to the Bible, can you let me know now so I can pivot?
I don't know, man. Just
okay.
I don't know.
All right. Well, because I got a great one. But I got a great backup one because I'm a school teacher. So okay. I'm going to go with the Bible one if that's okay. In the 20th century, Germany would have won two world wars if not for the United States. And there wouldn't have been a United States without an Abraham Lincoln. So arguably our
greatest. That's a big one.
Oh,
Abe Lincoln and Abraham.
Now, when you look at the world today, good, bad, or indifferent, how many people trace themselves back
to Abraham? I got you. We got you, John. All right, so Abraham and Abraham Lincoln. That's a big one. I knew Michael Jordan and Michael Jackson could eventually be beat. We're going to have to, I don't know, man. The Bible thing gets difficult for the purpose of these contests to discern. But
that's an incredible answer right there.
Abraham Lincoln and Abraham. All right, if it counts, it's a big one. I'll say that.
It counts, man. Wow.
Well, what about Jesus and whoever the next most accomplished Jesus
is? Who's your
I don't know.
That you believe holds up
I don't know.
Jesus.
I have no idea. I'm just saying.
I don't think there's another Jesus.
I don't know. John, I would tend to say not comparable.
It's really tough to make that.
All right, by the way, the Phils over the weekend, couple things in addition to just the games. Whit Merrifield cut.
Yeah.
So you could
Who would have thunk it?
Well, I want to thunk it in April.
Because we thought he was good, and then it's like, man, okay, we'll give him some time. Okay, he's just not getting enough reps, and that's why he's starting so slowly.
Yeah.
But then over the course of this season, we saw that it was so underwhelming.
Maybe he's just cooked, 35 years old.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he just doesn't. Because obviously he had accomplishment. He made 2 All-Star teams. I was shocked at how bad he was, frankly. I mean, he was really bad. I kind of thought as recently as a few weeks ago that he would get deeper into the season. But I remember Seltzer saying like a week ago, like, this guy might not get much more time at all. I mean, he didn't even get to the trade deadline. Like, this isn't even a scenario where they cut him because they acquired a player in a trade. I mean, they cut him before that whole thing begins. There were 3 pieces of audio to me that really stood out this weekend related to the Phils that I thought, in the midst of a frustrating weekend where the Phils lost 2 of 3 and played generally bad baseball, 3 pieces of audio I thought actually were pretty cool. Now, the first we're going to play for you is Rob Thompson talking about cutting Whit Merrifield. Now, let me be clear. When I say cool, it stinks for Whit Merrifield. But what I think's cool about the audio we're about to play is, to me, it speaks to who Rob Thompson the person is. Because he's talking about Whit Merrifield, the person. And this is the kind of, frankly, humanity that I think Rob Thompson brings to the table that's not only a big part of the reason why the players love him, but also it resonates, I think, with millions of fans when you hear Rob Thompson just be a human. Listen to Rob Thompson the other day. This was on Friday, talking about the Phillies cutting Whit Merrifield.
It's difficult. And it's not just that. It's the person, the teammate. The guy in the clubhouse, you know, and it's very, very difficult to balance that out. And I personally really liked him a lot. And I've been a farm director, field coordinator. I've had many, many releases and had to fire many, many people. And this is one of the tougher ones I've had.
You know, John, that's the thing at the end when he says one of the tougher ones. It's like, look, we judge players primarily through what they do. On the field, you hit, you don't hit. You get a homer, you strike out. Okay.
Well, so it's what they do, but it's what they do in a very small snippet of what they do in the big picture of everything.
Because there's a clubhouse impact, there's a leadership impact, there's a fitted into a culture impact. I mean, what Rob Thompson just said there is basically a guy like Whit Merrifield, who we know very little about on a personal level. What Rob Thompson just said is this guy fit our culture, and so it hurts our hearts to have to cut him. We're still going to cut him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. There's a goal here, and that goal is to win the championship. And we feel Whit Merrifield may have held us back from that goal. He wasn't good enough anymore. So I respect what the Phillies did in cutting him. But I also really respect the way Rob Thompson presented that. Because, John, that sounds to me like look, we've all had bosses, and we've all had good bosses, and we've all had bad bosses. And the way Rob Thompson presented himself, that's the kind of person I'd want to have as a boss.
Oh,
someone
man.
Who cares.
Well, that's resounding through the course of this entire, just getting to know Rob Thompson as a fan and he as the manager. Like, everyone respects the way this guy conducts business.
Yeah, there's a human side that I think is really admirable. All right, speaking of the human side, let's get, again, I said 3 main pieces of audio this weekend on a positive way. And this was not a good weekend for the Phils. They didn't play good. But 3 things I thought were pretty cool. The second relates to Tyler Phillips, the hometown guy. Bishop Eustace High School, who made a start and pitched pretty solid for the Phillies on Saturday. Pretty solid. And let's go to the moment in the 7th inning when he gets taken out of the game. The crowd, who was well aware that, you know, not only is this his first start for the Phils, but first start in the same ballpark he grew up being a fan in. And the ovation from the crowd, I thought, was really strong.
And now he hands the baseball to his skipper.
He's getting one of those cheers that he'd been a part of before, only on the other side of the lines in the stands. Now he's coming off the field to that ovation.
Does look like he took a minute to look up into the stands and take it all in.
Yeah, I mean, cool.
That was good stuff. And it continued, by the way. I mean, we could keep going with it because obviously the crowd kept going. It was just, look, again, it was a bad weekend for the Phils, but it's a spectacular weekend for Tyler Phillips. Who knows how many shots he gets? You know, I mean, obviously at some point the Phils are going to get, you know, Taiwan back, and at some point they're going to get that Turnbull back. But that was a neat.
It was really, really cool. I felt like I was emotionally invested. Like I was nervous for him just because being from Philly, being a Philly fan, you know how much it means here. And growing, like, I just can't imagine what emotions he was feeling, what emotions his family was feeling.
Totally.
Like I would have been so, I was nervous for him, and I'm so glad he did well. That was one bright spot from the weekend.
Yeah, there wasn't much.
That's funny that you say that. I was nervous for his family. Isn't that strange?
Well, yeah, because the camera's on them, and if he gets rocked, like it's a whole different deal.
Yeah, really?
A whole different deal.
Oh my gosh, I was so invested in that. And I don't know if it was because like I personally had something, you know, kind of similar. I wasn't able to go to a ton of games growing up. I mean, I can remember getting brought to a Phillies game way back in 1981 by my next door neighbor.
Wow. Like you were 2 hours away, right? 2 hours?
Yeah. And my parents, you know, my dad sold cars. My mom was a teacher. We weren't going and doing, you know, big trips.
Yep.
Like I said, we just drove up 81 to go fish. That was the only thing we did for vacation. It was like a dream to come into Philadelphia with Tony Northrup, my next door neighbor, to go to the Phillies game and try to catch a Mike Schmidt home run. But it didn't happen very often.
Well, probably didn't ever happen. I don't think
it happened one time in 1981.
But you didn't catch a Mike Schmidt home run.
But you
caught a ball?
No.
When you said it didn't happen often, I thought you meant going to the game. I thought
going
you meant
to that game.
Catching a homer. All right, let's get to the third piece of audio I thought that was pretty cool from this weekend. And that was the reaction of Tyler Phillips after the game, talking about what had happened Saturday when he had pitched. Here is Phillips after that game.
I was telling the guys earlier, like, there's a little kid inside him. He's screaming, he's punching the air. He's like, man, we're here, we're a Philly. It's the best thing ever.
How hard was it to keep your emotions in check as you're walking off the field in that seventh inning and you're getting a standing ovation?
Yeah, it was damn near impossible. I mean, I'm watching, like, I know what a standing O means in Philly, and I wasn't expecting that for myself. I mean, like, I threw the ball well. Result-wise, it wasn't perfect how I wanted it to be, but to have that many people stand behind me, like, it means something. And my passion for this city, like, I mean, like, I was fighting back tears. I was choked up real bad.
Look, that's cool, man. That's cool. Now, I know it wasn't a good weekend for the Phillies. They lost 2-3. They played generally pretty sloppy baseball. You know, obviously not having Wheeler yesterday it created a massive ripple effect in the game. I mean, if you have Zach Wheeler, I think chances are you probably win. You don't have Zach Wheeler, you lose. So you lose 2-3 to Oakland. But again, first time since early April, Devin, that they've...
Mm-hmm. Early April that they've lost a series at home.
I think it was
that's
like 16,
unbelievable.
16 mm-hmm. series in a row or something.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. And our first caller today calls in blasting the Phils. How dare they lose?
I was trying to figure out and understand where he was coming from.
He wanted his money back. He
got one of himself after the game. It's like, you know what? It happens. Like, I think they were just ready to get to break.
Well, so I don't agree with that. I think it's a matter of, I mean, okay, let me pull up the box score real quick. Because listen to who the Phillies pitched yesterday. I mean, just to be fair and lay it out there. So you get Kirkring. So you got your good relievers and your bad relievers. Mm-hmm. Kirkring, one inning, no run. Boom, he does his job. Mercado, 4 innings, 6 runs. Now, he didn't do his job, but this is the kind of thing I would expect from someone like Mercado. I mean, I'm not saying maybe to get blown up the way he did, but I wouldn't expect excellence. Sir Anthony goes in there, an inning and a third, 4 runs. Again, this is why I don't feel great trust with him. Then you get one of your main relievers in there, which was unusual in a game when you've already given up so many runs. But I guess Rob Thompson maybe trying to get Strom some work.
Yeah, I thought the Strom going in was the questionable. Because, like, at that point, it was like, why are you...
But I will say this. You do need a pitch. I mean, you got to get through nine innings.
Yeah.
And it's a bullpen game, so a lot of guys got to go. So Strom gets two outs, and he doesn't give up a run. Then Ruiz gets in there. He goes an inning. He gives up three runs. So if you think about it, the guys you would expect to give up the runs have given up the runs. Mercado, Sir Anthony, who's obviously borderline on that category, and Ruiz, the two guys you would expect not to give up runs, didn't. Kirkren and Strom. And then the wheels.
And then Stubbs. And then,
the wheels completely came off with Stubbs. All right, 215-592-94.
He was throwing 87, though.
He had some pretty good pitches for a catcher.
Well, he is a catcher, so you got to be able to whip that ball to second base, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so a lot on the Phils from both the weekend, the first half of the season, and also the Eagles. I have a belief that we, as a fan base, have overlooked the loss of Jason Kelce quite a bit, frankly. I hear a lot of people, and John's one of them, that seem to indicate, you know, no Kelce. Yep, it's a bummer. But hey, we got Cam Jurgens. Slide him in. Good to go. And I'm like, yeah. I don't think it works.
Handpicked by the All Pro. Yes, he's a perennial All Pro. And that
you get
says
my point, though,
lot.
On the combo also. Like, Kelce and Jurgens better than Jurgens and
Steen.
Yeah. Like,
there's a drop off. But remember, Jason Kelce was an advanced elder statesman. He knew everything, but at that stage of your career, like, your body is not letting you do everything you want it to do. Now, we didn't see it. It wasn't obvious, but it's possible Cam Jurgens can step in there and not miss a step. I'm not saying he's going to best the performances of Jason Kelce. I'm saying that he can step in there and he can do this. He can do a great Jason Kelce impersonation because he has the tools. Jason Kelce
picked him
because he shares so many tools.
Cam does have more physical athleticism than most centers we've ever seen. That is true. We'll see what he does. Let's go to Andy in Deptford. Good morning, Andy.
Yo, what's up, ladies? How we doing?
Doing great, Andy.
Hey, buddy.
So you got the bidet in your apartment, right?
Well, it's a bidet, not a bidet.
So
yes.
You got the bidet. So most people, you know, adults, like, we level up and we buy houses from our apartment. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to get your bidet out of your apartment from your house?
Well, you would uninstall it. I mean, it's not that complex, you know?
I'm just saying, not that. Didn't you have to pay somebody to install it?
100%. You think I would know how to freaking install a bidet? Come on.
So you just said it's not that complex, but you're going to have to pay a service.
Well, yeah, so but it's not that complex. Like, it's doable. You pay some fee, and then someone changes it for you, right?
All right, let's get to these Eagles and Jason Kelce, right? All right, here's my deal. Like, center, let's remove the name Kelce. Let's just look at the position. Center isn't even the first or second most important position on the O-line. Left and right tackle, by far, in my opinion,
I agree,
are the most important positions,
yep,
right?
That's right.
So we got a center who was older, who, you know, wasn't falling off, but wasn't at his best. I mean, high snaps. He's always struggled against.
Well, even in his prime, he had snaps all over the place. I really, Andy, honestly, I did not notice a difference in his play. I don't think he fell off.
All right, well, here's the deal. He's always struggled against big interior defensive linemen. That's a fact. That's a fact.
No, that's not a fact.
John, is that a fact?
No. Hold on, Andy.
In his career, especially.
You said he, quote, always struggles against a big, you know, that's inaccurate. He sometimes struggled.
It's something that he knew he had to get better at.
And he did.
And he did.
Yeah, so don't say he always struggled at it. That's not right.
But it's probably his greatest weakness.
That and his snaps were probably his two. Yes.
Inability to hold up against a guy who's 400 pounds. But, you know, hey, there's a trade-off. You know, he is the athlete, not the massive center.
And also, I'll say this, John, less, I think, truly massive defensive linemen these days, because defenses have gone with more quicker players trying to get to the quarterback than run stuffers.
Yeah, very true.
So I think that kind of helped Kelce's career.
Well, when I was playing, you had middle linebackers who were 315 pounds.
Well, look at LeVon Kirk.
LeVon Kirk.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We would have to devise special blocking schemes because he's a lineman out there. And so I'm anyway. Yeah. But it, yeah.
Right, Andy, go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry.
Back to my point. Like, the Redskins have a huge D line. Like I said, we always overvalue our own. I think Cam Jurgens is going to be fine. Same situation we did when, you know, the media is looking for beef this whole offseason when we fabricate these stories. First it was A.J. Brown beef in the locker room. How'd that go? The Eagles extended him. So he couldn't have been that big of a cancer. And then the next thing with Sirianni and the coach, you know, who would have confidence in this coach? The brass upper management took 2 weeks to anoint him the coach after the season. And he's the head coach. He don't call the offense. He don't call the defense. And the team fell apart last year. So where is the confidence in that guy? You know, you went on these tirades with the coach and the quarterback, Joe. So, you know, I ain't talk to you in a minute. I got to bring all that back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
But that was a neat...
It was really, really cool. I felt... Like, I was emotionally invested. Like, I was nervous for him just because being from Philly, being a Philly fan, you know how much it means here. And growing, like, I just can't imagine what emotions he was feeling, what emotions his family was feeling.
Totally.
Like, I would have been so, I was nervous for him, and I'm so glad he did well. That was one bright spot from the weekend.
Yeah, there wasn't much.
That's funny that you say that. I was nervous for his family. Isn't that strange?
Well, yeah, because the camera's on them, and if he gets rocked, like, it's a whole different deal.
Yeah, really.
A whole different deal.
Oh, my gosh. I was so invested in that. And I don't know if it was because, like, I personally had something, you know, kind of similar. I wasn't able to go to a ton of games growing up. I mean, I can remember getting brought to a Phillies game way back in 1981 by my next door neighbor.
Wow. Like you were 2 hours away, right? 2 hours?
Yeah. And my parents, you know, my dad sold cars. My mom was a teacher. We weren't going and doing, you know, big trips.
Yep.
Like I said, we just drove up 81 to go fish. That was the only thing we did for vacation. It was like a dream to come into Philadelphia with Tony Northrup, my next door neighbor, to go to the Phillies game and try to catch a Mike Schmidt home run. But it didn't happen very often.
Well, probably didn't ever happen. I don't think
it happened one time in 1981.
But you didn't catch a Mike Schmidt home run. You caught a ball?
No.
When you said it didn't happen often, I thought you meant going to the game. I thought you meant catching a homer. All right, let's get to the third piece of audio I thought that was pretty cool from this weekend. And that was the reaction of Tyler Phillips after the game, talking about what had happened Saturday when he had pitched. Here is Phillips after that game.
I was telling the guys earlier, like, there's a little kid inside him. He's screaming. He's punching the air. He's like, "Man, we're here. We're a Philly. It's the best thing ever."
How hard was it to keep your emotions in check as you're walking off the field in that seventh inning and you're getting a standing ovation?
Yeah, it was damn near impossible. I mean, I'm watching, like, I know what a standing O means in Philly, and I wasn't expecting that for myself. I mean, like, I threw the ball well. result-wise, it wasn't perfect how I wanted it to be, but to have that many people stand behind me, like, it means something. And my passion for this city, like, I mean, like, I was fighting back tears. I was choked up real bad.
Look, that's cool, man. That's cool. No, I know it wasn't a good weekend for the Phillies. They lost 2-3. They played generally pretty sloppy baseball. You know, obviously not having Wheeler yesterday created a massive ripple effect in the game. I mean, if you have Zach Wheeler, I think chances are you probably win. You don't have Zach Wheeler, you lose. So you lose 2-3 to Oakland. But again, first time since early April, Devin, that they've...
Mm-hmm. Early April that they've lost a series at home.
I think it was
that's
like
16, unbelievable.
16 mm-hmm. series in a row or something.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. And our first caller today calls in blasting the Phillies. How dare they lose?
I was trying to figure out and understand where he was coming from.
He wanted his money back. He
got one of himself after the game. It's like, you know what? It happens. Like, I think they were just ready to get to break.
Well, so I don't agree with that. I think it's a matter of, I mean, okay, let me pull up the box score real quick. Because listen to who the Phillies pitched yesterday. I mean, just to be fair and lay it out there. So you get Kirk Green. So you got your good relievers and your bad relievers. Mm-hmm. Kirk Green, one inning, no run. Boom, he does his job. Mercado, 4 innings, 6 runs. Now, he didn't do his job, but this is the kind of thing I would expect from someone like Mercado. I mean, I'm not saying maybe to get blown up the way he did, but I wouldn't expect excellence. Sir Anthony goes in there, an inning and a third, 4 runs. Again, this is why I don't feel great trust with him. Then you get one of your main relievers in there, which was unusual in a game when you've already given up so many runs. But I guess Rob Thompson maybe trying to get Strom some work.
Yeah, Strom going in was that was the questionable. Because like at that point, it was like, why are you?
But I will say this. You do need to pitch. I mean, you got to get through 9 innings.
Yeah.
And it's a bullpen game, so a lot of guys got to go. So Strom gets 2 outs, and he doesn't give up a run. Then Ruiz gets in there. He goes an inning. He gives up 3 runs. So if you think about it, the guys you would expect to give up the runs have given up the runs. Mercado, Sir Anthony, who's obviously borderline on that category, and Ruiz, the two guys you would expect not to give up runs, didn't. Kirkren and Strom. And then the wheels.
And then Stubbs. And then,
the wheels completely came off with Stubbs. All right, 215-592-94.
He was
94.
Throwing 87, though.
He had some
87.
He had some pretty good pitches for a catcher.
Well, he is a catcher, so you got to be able to whip that ball to second base, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so a lot on the Phillies from both the weekend, the first half of the season, and also the Eagles. I have a belief that we, as a fan base, have overlooked the loss of Jason Kelce quite a bit, frankly. I hear a lot of people, and John's one of them, that seem to indicate, you know, no Kelce. Yep, it's a bummer. But hey, we got Cam Jurgens. Slide him in. Good to go. And I'm like, I don't think it works.
Hand-picked by the All-Pro. Yes, he's a perennial All-Pro. And that
you get my point, though, in the combo also. Like, Kelce and Jurgens better than Jurgens and...
Steen.
Yeah. Like,
there's a drop-off. But remember, Jason Kelce was... He was an advanced elder statesman. He knew everything, but at that stage of your career, like, your body is not letting you do everything you want it to do. Now, we didn't see it. It wasn't obvious, but it's possible Cam Jurgens can step in there and not miss a step. I'm not saying he's going to best the performances of Jason Kelce. I'm saying that he can step in there and he can do this. He can do a great Jason Kelce impersonation because he has the tools. Jason Kelce
him
because he shares so many tools.
Cam does have more physical athleticism than most centers we've ever seen. That is true. We'll see what he does. Let's go to Andy in Deptford. Good morning, Andy.
Yo, what's up, ladies? How we doing?
Doing great, Andy.
Hey, buddy.
Joe, so you got the bidet in your apartment, right?
Well, it's a bidet, not a bidet.
So
yes.
You got the bidet. So most people, you know, adults, like, we level up and we buy houses from our apartment. Like, how are you going to get your bidet out of your apartment from your house?
Well, you would uninstall it. I mean, it's not that complex, you know?
I'm just saying, not that. Didn't you have to pay somebody to install it?
100% I did. You think I would know how to freaking install a bidet? Come on.
So you just said it's not that complex, but you're going to have to pay a service.
Well yeah, so but it's not complex. That complex. Like, it's doable. You pay some fee, and then someone changes it for you, right?
All right. Let's get to these Eagles and
yes.
Jason Kelce, right? All right, here's my deal. Like, center, let's remove the name Kelce. Let's just look at the position. Center isn't even the first or second most important position on the O-line. Left and right tackle, by far, in my opinion,
I agree.
Are the most important positions,
yep,
right?
That's right.
So we got a center who was older, who, you know, wasn't falling off, but wasn't at his best. I mean, high snaps. He's always struggled against.
Well, even in his prime, he had snaps all over the place. I really, Andy, honestly, I did not notice a difference in his play. I don't think he fell off.
All right, well, here's the deal. He's always struggled against big interior defensive linemen. That's a fact. That's not a fact. John, is that a fact?
No.
Early
hold on,
in
Andy.
His career,
Andy,
especially.
You said he, quote, always struggles against a big, you know, that's inaccurate. He sometimes struggled.
It's something that he knew he had to get better at.
And he did.
And he did.
Yeah, so don't say he always struggled at it. That's
but
not
it
right.
But it's probably his greatest weakness.
That and the snaps were
the
probably
physical
his two, yes, all
inability to hold up against a guy who's 400 pounds. But, you know,
right.
Hey, there's a trade-off. You know, he is the athlete, not
right.
The massive center.
And also, I'll say this, John, less, I think, truly massive defensive linemen these days, because defenses have gone with more quicker players trying to get to the quarterback than run stuffers.
Yeah, very
true. So I think that kind of helped Kelce's career.
Well, when I was playing, you had middle linebackers who were 315 pounds.
Well, look at LeVon Kirkland.
LeVon Kirkland.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We would have to devise special blocking schemes because he's a lineman out there. And so I'm, you know, anyway, yeah.
Right, Andy, go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry.
Back to my point, like, the Redskins have a huge D-line. Like I said, we always overvalue our own. I think Cam Jurgens is going to be fine. Same situation we did when, you know, the media is looking for beef this whole offseason when we fabricate these stories. First it was A.J. Brown beef in the locker room. How'd that go? The Eagles extended him. So he couldn't have been that big of a cancer. And then the next thing with Sirianni and the coach, you know, who would have confidence in this coach? The brass upper management took 2 weeks to anoint him the coach after the season. And he's the head coach. He don't call the offense. He don't call the defense. And the team fell apart last year. So where is the confidence in that guy? You know, you went on these tirades with the coach and the quarterback, Joe. So, you know, I ain't talked to you in a minute. I got to bring all that back.
Well, you bring up whatever you want to bring up. It's all good. Andy, give me an answer. Accomplishment. Same first name, two people.
All right. Well, you don't have too many of these with this first name. I don't know of any more than these two. But I'm gonna go with Ulysses S. Grant. Mm-hmm. I mean, he led us out of the Civil War, and
sure.
he was a decent president.
Yep.
And then you got Ulysses from the Odyssey.
Well, that's fictional. We said no fiction, real life. You get a pivot. Give me a pivot.
I like that answer, though.
Yeah, me too.
You got to
get. I get a pivot.
Go with Andy from Deptford. And all right, Andy, we appreciate the call. Who would be the Andys?
Andy Reid.
Andy Reid and?
Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman. Okay.
Maybe.
I got to tell you, I found Latka. Yeah, I find both of them annoying. I find Andy Cohen annoying, and I found Andy Kaufman incredibly annoying. I think
that's what he was going for.
But, I mean, as a viewer, and I enjoy Taxi, but I think consistently the worst scenes in Taxi were the Latka scenes.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
I think that's what he was into.
I know he was. He was into
stressing,
annoying people.
Yeah.
But I blame James Burrows for keep putting him in the show. Enough. Get that guy out of here. All right, let's go to Rick in Easton. Rick, you're on WIP.
Yes, from high school, and John, you know this, from high school to college to the NFL, the most important collection of players on the football team is the O-line. You have to have that O-line to keep the defense on the sidelines and keep the ball. Lombardi did it. Walsh did it. Shula, Gibbs, Landry, Reed, and Belichick. Kelce was the quarterback of their offensive line for quite a few years. That's his impact is going to be sorely missed.
Rick, I like your thought here. I mean, listen, I hope you're wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I agree with you, and I like the simplicity with which you laid it out. Look, I'll say this, Rick. Jurgens probably going to be pretty good, but Kelce was more than pretty good. He was a Hall of Famer. That is a hell of a standard, and they now lack that.
I just remember so many TV announcers keying on him. Look what he did here. Look what he did down the field. It was incredible.
We're still going to see that, Rick. Promise you, you're going to have plays exactly like those where the commentator says, check Cam Jurgens out on this play. He's snapping the ball, shotgun, and he's pulling around the edge, leading this 94 stretch solid, whatever the play is. He can do those things. He can do everything that Kelce could physically do.
John, I don't doubt that. Oh, before I
and
give
that's
you
amazing.
My name, yep. Before I give you my name, don't forget, this is what's so great about Topper. Topper took the ball back from the relief pitcher and brought that ball into the dugout and gave it to Phillips.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool if you think about it. Okay, so here's my name. Very impactful for the history of our country.
Okay.
George Washington and George Patton.
That is a good answer. George Washington and George Patton. I like that answer a lot. That's pretty cool. John, how cool was it last year when we had Tone from the Barbershop's father in here telling us about, you know, being there when George Patton died in the crash with the car in like 45 or 46, whatever.
I think that was like a couple months ago.
Well, I would say it was probably last year.
Recent, because it was so palpable.
That was maybe. Unbelievable.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.